I want to deal with something tonight I believe you'll be blessed by. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. It's right past 1 Corinthians. Chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10, wiping this makeup off. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to deal with something tonight that I believe will bless you because it's blessed me. It's been going over in my spirit now for about 4 months. I didn't know when I would preach this message. But this week, as the Spirit of God began to deal with me about what I would share at my time, God spoke this. He said, the time is now. I don't know about you people, but most priests that I knew and most preachers that I knew believed in God. The Methodists believed in God. I used to be a Methodist. The Baptists believe in God. We used to be Baptists. The Catholics believe in God. I used to be Catholic. The Pentecostals, Assemblies of God, and Pentecost, the Church of Holiness, and the full gospel and words, they all believe in God. But I wanted a God that I could talk to. I wanted a God, for lack of a better term, I wanted to say, hello, Jesus. And he'd say, hi, Jesse. You know, I just wanted a friend. If Abraham was his friend, why couldn't I be his friend? But I had to believe his word. And most people told me they believed the word of God. But I noticed that when the actions came to back up what they said they believed, that their actions were totally different. You watching my television know what I'm talking about. Some of you in prison today because somebody didn't tell you the truth. They told you about religion, but they didn't tell you about Jesus. I'm talking personal here. I'm not talking about some facade, some stained glass window, some Muriel, some statue. You know why a statue is a statue? Because there's no life in it. That's what makes a statue, no life. A frozen picture of something that may have once lived. And I found out through the different churches I went through as a young man growing up that most people were in the gambling business when it came to God. That God was a gamble. You know how God is. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he don't. So get your dice out, Jack. We're going to shoot craps tonight. We're going to pray and believe God be healing. We may come up with a 7. We might have 11. But chances are we're going to get snake eyes and you're going to die. Because you know how God is. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he doesn't. Thank you. Praise God. He must have heard the whole message. Glory to God. I ain't even got it out yet. I want to deal with tonight that most of you people haven't learned much about God at his altar. You've learned more about God at the gospel casino. I want to deal tonight with the gospel casino. Like when you're praying, it's like shooting dice. Come on, Holy Ghost, blow on them dice. We're believing God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Some of you don't shoot dice. You hit the gospel slot machine. You giving but never receiving. Some of you at the blackjack tables of the gospel casino. You're going, hit me. No, no, I don't want you to hit me like that. Hit me. No, I don't want you to hit me like that. See, you're gambling. God's a gamble. But the God I know doesn't gamble. The God I know does what he says. The God I speak about, the God that I know personally, instead of know about, but know personally, he's not in the gambling business. He's not saying, hit me. He's saying, heal me. Heal me. Heal me. Instead of hit me, hit me. And he always comes up with a 7 because that's his number. The gospel casino. Most people hadn't learned to pray at the altar of God. They've learned to pray at the gospel casino. It's a roulette wheel, Jack. Pick a number. Throw a ball and close your eyes. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. We're going to pray, but you know, you can't expect God to hear you. Then what's the use of praying? You understand? The God I serve is not a statue. The God I serve, I say, Jesus. He said, Jesse. I go, yes, Lord. I want to deal with the gospel casino. And maybe the reason why you're in prison tonight, because they tried to tell you about God at a gospel casino instead of telling you about God at the very throne where he lives. See what I'm saying? Think about that. We're going to go try to build a church, but you know, it may work and it may not, brother. When I went into the evangelistic field, I had no help. Ain't nobody going to help me. I'm a Cajun from New Orleans. They wanted me to stay home. They said, you're not called. I said, well, what is that voice coming through the air? Just say, just say, go ye, go ye. Oh, that's real. Oh, you just think you're hearing that. Man, I got two ears. I can hear. Well, how come you don't think I'm called? Well, God called me and it didn't work for me. Well, it ain't my fault. Yeah, but you're not qualified. That's why he called me. So that he could teach me. But you see, for years, the gospel casino was preached to me every Sunday. And they seeded my mind with thoughts to believe God, but also thoughts not to believe his word, that separated God from his word. And God is his word. So everything I did when I prayed, when a hurricane came to the Gulf Coast, we didn't pray for it to stop. We prayed for it to go to Florida. Or Texas, they need the rain. People all over the Gulf Coast, they don't know how to stop hurricanes. They just know how to push them all over the place. Oh, I'm glad it didn't come here. Bless God, get that over there. Send it to Mississippi. Them gambling boats are there. Blow it out the water. Nobody knows how to dissipate a storm. Just kind of know how to push it. But Jesus said, tell that storm to shut up. Oh, ye of little faith. And he said, shut up. And the Bible said the storm ceased. You notice he didn't push it to the other side of Galilee. Now, he may have wanted to. Some of them Nazarene people over there didn't like him too much. Take it to Nazareth, God. No. He dissipated problems instead of pushing them to other places. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Are you there yet? That's close enough. Chapter 10. I want to make sure you're listening. What happened? I made a mistake. The pages blew up. One time I was preaching a message. And the pages blew in my Bible. And the pages blew in my notes. And I was preaching on love. And my next point was love never faileth. And I my eyes went down, you know. But I didn't realize I was on a different page in the Bible. And a different page in my notes. And I looked down and I said, I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. I went, that don't make sense. That don't make sense. I'm talking about love. That don't make sense. So I went, the wicked one touches him not. And I saw people go, what? And you know, I tried to preach that in the love. I said, the wicked one. And the Lord said, hey, Dodo, look at the page. I went, oh, wrong verse. I did that. And the Lord on the throne going, look at Jesse. You don't think he's laughing? Look at this crowd out here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and he says this. This is why you people can't believe the word of God the way it's spoken, because they've been taught in the gospel casino and it's in their mind. And I'm going to deal with that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3. Paul says, for though we walk in the flesh, this is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible, we do not war after the flesh. In other words, even though you're inside your body, what's inside you is greater than what's on the outside of you. Notice this man was not fighting his flesh. He wasn't fighting the temptations of sin. He didn't war after the flesh. He was no longer living. It was Jesus Christ and him crucified that lived inside of him. That's a powerful verse. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons, verse 4, of our warfare are not carnal. Notice that. Are not what you can make of them. But mighty through God. Everything is done through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. Not to the patching them up, but to pulling them down, knocking them down, making them become non-existent. Well, how is that done? Number one, casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. What does that mean? That means if somebody tells you to do something different than what the Word of God tells you to do, that's a high imagination. It's going against the knowledge of God. You need to pull it down. He says, casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought. That's a strong word. Strong sentence. Every thought. How can you control your mind? To the obedience of Christ. Read it again with me in verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity. That means you got to run after them sometimes. Captivate those things. Every thought to the obedience of Christ or to the obedience of the anointed and his anointing. The word Christ, as Brother Copeland's been preaching, is not Jesus' last name. No, it's what he preached. His anointing. The word Christ means the anointed one. The gospel casino. Many of you have been praying at the gospel casino. Many of you have been playing at the gospel casino. Because the church world for centuries has taught us we can't rely on God. Someone told me earlier today that someone said that all these storms and earthquakes and fires were sent by God. But we're going to pray now. What you gonna pray? If you believe they're sent by God, get up and shout. Yeah! My house got blown down last night. Woo! God sent it. What are you gonna pray? Stop God? See, that's casino stuff. That's a gamble. I want to deal with that. The gospel has to fight for every inch of ground from man's religion. Religion has come into the world. That's why some of you people in prison don't know Jesus, because you've never really heard about Jesus. You've heard about, quote, Christianity or, quote, religion instead of a personal commitment, a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking somebody you know, not somebody you know about, but somebody you know. Somebody that you don't earn this, bless God. You don't choose him. He chooses you. Love never faileth. He's not always looking back what you've done. He's looking about what you're going to do. His blood washes away your past. You will never have a future until you release that past. I don't care if you was a drug addict. I don't care if you was a murderer. If you release that past, you in those prisons today. If you release it tonight, it will be washed from you. And then you will have a future. A future that's marvelous because it's in God. It's not a gambling situation. He's not asking the Holy Ghost to pray over the dice. Come on, Jesus. Let's see if this is going to work. I've heard people pray like that. We're going to anoint your head with oil. We're going to call the elders at the church and we're going to pray. But you know how God is. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he don't. You know what that is? Putting a nickel in that slot machine. Hoping you come up with 3 apples to get healed. I don't want nobody praying for me like that. I had a man said, I'm going to pray, but you never know the will of God. I took his hand off my shoulder and said, I don't need your prayer. Since you don't know what you're praying, I don't want somebody going crazy over with something they don't know nothing about. I want somebody who knows what the Word of God said. So listen to the point. The gospel has to fight for every inch of ground from man's religion. Man's religion grew up in the soil of tradition. 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 You've heard that Fiddle on the Roof movie song. Everything's tradition. Well, bless God, the Catholics do it this way. And the Baptists do it this way. And the Methodists do it this way. And the Episcopalian and the Presbyterian and the Church of God and the Church of whatever. They all do it this way. And if you get out of their tradition, they don't like that. But ladies and gentlemen, there's something more powerful on the earth than the Word of God. What are you saying? Let me tell you what's more powerful than the Word of God. What could be more powerful than the Word of God? The Bible says the traditions of men have made the Word of God of none effect. That's Mark chapter 7 verse 13. You can go read it. The traditions of men have made the Word of God of none effect. Or in other words, stops the most powerful substance on the earth because of tradition. Tradition is man-made. What are you saying here? I'm saying blind traditionalism is the key culprit in misunderstanding God's Word. I didn't know how to pray, so people taught me how to pray. But you know how they taught me how to pray? Gambling. We're going to pray. But God may hear you, and he may not. Then I thought, well, what's the use of praying? I mean, why are we wasting our time? Either he does or he doesn't. It's either black or white. You know, I made up my mind, what he says is law, whether I like it or not. Yeah, but you got to do it our way. Well, did he say it that way? Well, no, then bless God, I'm going to do it his way. I'm tired of the gospel casino. I'm tired of being sick and can't get healed. I'm tired of being poor and can't get blessed. I'm tired of a gamble. My God will supply all my need according to his riches and glory. He said, say unto that mountain, be thou removed. Don't doubt in your heart. Believe those things what you say. What you say shall come to pass. You shall have it. I want what God said I could have. You watching my television, you want what God said you can have. You don't want to be sitting at some blackjack table asking the devil to hit you. Remember, he's the dealer. You'll never come up 21. They're going to take from you. You don't beat the house. The house belongs to the devil. You understand what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is this blind traditionalism is the key culprit in misunderstanding God's word. And you know, for years, the traditions of men made the word of God none effect in my life. They told me that. I believed it. Yet there was something in my heart that I just didn't think God could lie. I couldn't prove it because they told me he did. He said his word doesn't return void. His word will not return unto him void. Yet they told me his word would return to be void because you got to pray his will. So I began to do a research in the scripture. What is the will of God for me? And I found out that Genesis chapter 1 was the will of God for me. Genesis chapter 2 was the will of God for me. The last two chapters in the book of Revelation was the will of God for me. That's the will of God for man. Between those four chapters is 1186 chapters of killing, stealing, destroying, traditionalism, every kind of religion you can think of. But Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth, and ladies and gentlemen, he's going to pick us up, and we're going back to Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 and the last two chapters in the book of Revelation, and man will walk in the cool of the day with God once again. That's the will of God for you. That's God's will. But yet tradition says some people don't believe that, even though God wrote it in black, wrote it in white, wrote it in red. But tradition blinds people. Tradition. It's amazing. People can't get along with each other because of traditions. You don't know my lifestyle. Well, if you're my brother, I don't need to know that. Teach me and let me listen. So that is the key culprit in sending you instead of from the church to the gospel casino. You're constantly gambling with your future in God. Some of you don't know for sure if you're saved, even though you walk to the front, even though you sense the touch of God in your life, even though the word of God says you are, even though sin is no longer part of your life, you still have that, I don't know. Why? Because you've been at the casino. And the most people are there where God's at the throne. And other people are at the casino. Listen to me. Don't deal with man-made reasonings. Go with God-sent word realities. I made up my mind. Jesus said, by his stripes, I were healed. When I read the word, were healed, I said, well, then before I were sick, I was were healed. Now, that mean that'd be good grammar, but bless God, makes sense to me. You know, I tried sick. I didn't like it. I didn't say, boy, God, I tried poor. I didn't say, whoo, I'm glad I'm homeless. No, I said, that isn't right. Yet there were some people wanting me to take a vow of poverty. Are you crazy? I'm not going to be cursed. It's a curse. Why do you want me to vow to a curse? I'd rather vow to a blessing. See, but that's tradition. That's reasoning. Glory to God. I can say it in tongues. Glory to God. You understand? It is that's dealing with man-made. Yeah, but Brother Jesse, when I went into the mission, you know what my preacher, my pastor told me? Now, Brother Jesse, get ready. I said, I'm ready. I'm ready. I don't have a place to preach, but I don't need nobody to ask me. I'll walk the streets of America. I'll preach to jackrabbits. I'll preach to rats. I'll preach to dogs. I don't care. Somebody gonna listen to me. You see, I didn't care. I wasn't looking for an offering. I didn't even know offerings were received. I didn't have any kind of idea about that. All I wanted to do was preach. I didn't wait for a church to ask me. I made my own church, man. Wherever I was, I began to minister. I mean, I was in the office, bless God, and the lights went out. And I thought, a perfect time to preach. Nobody can see me. I can't see them. The lights are out. It's going to take 20 minutes for them to get to the back of the warehouse to find the fuses and all that kind of stuff. We didn't have we just had fuses in those days. And I just began to preach in the darkness. I went, you've been weighed in the balances and found one. You're going to hell as this darkness is over your body. So will you go into the pits of the flame. Boy, you can hear people going, whoa, man. Whoa. I was preaching good. All I could remember was, repent, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Then the lights came on when I was in right in the middle of my message. Repent. And I saw people like this. And my boss said, boy, you into this, huh? I said, Mr. Walter, it's into me. I know Jesus personally. I'm not blinded by tradition. I'm not gambling with his word. I know what his word will say. And then I didn't know how to end. So I said, and that's the truth. Went back to my desk. There was two girls living with two guys. They went home that night and ran them balls off. They said, Jesse preached us into hell. I didn't know anything else but hell. I'd come out of hell. That's all I knew. I didn't have enough teaching in the word. I was at the casino of the gospel gambling. But I knew a lot about hell. What could I preach hell? Because I lived in hell. You drink a fifth of whiskey a day. That's hell. You smoke dope, a little dope a week. You snort cocaine. You put PCP in popcorn machines. You talk about a trip, boy. Whoa. You understand? You think you're having fun till you come down. Then you got to take some more to come up. Then you got to steal some money to put the habit. Before you know it, you got policemen coming at you. And then all of a sudden, it's just one thing after another. Then you hear clang. You got to pay your debt to society. You watching my television? God already paid your debt to society. Jesus shed his blood for you. He paid your debt to society. If you'll accept his freedom. Tradition stops you. Tradition is the key culprit. So I don't deal with man-made reasonings. I go with God-sent word realities. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the primary relationship between Jesus and the individual is first of Savior and sinner. Let me tell you something. Evangelism is the seed of the church. You can't have a church. You can't have nothing without evangelism. Jesus said, go ye into the world and preach the gospel. That's the very first thing you need. It's the very first thing God does is Savior, sinner. Second thing he does is teacher, pupil. But you got to have a Savior and you know you're a sinner. That's, you got to accept Jesus just the way you are. Now, some people stay in those baby stages 45 years. They're dragging a load in that diaper like you ain't never seen in your life. I know that may be graphic, but bless God, I'm telling you the truth. 45 years of religion. I want to tell you something. It stinks. 45 years of being one religious person is dirt. It's trash. You need a diaper change. But you've been told that's all there is. Just hang on. Wait a minute, bless God. There's more to that. I like what Marlon LeFevre says. John 3:16 will get you to heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. That will get you to heaven. But it ain't enough for you to enjoy the trip. You gotta have more than John 3:16. You gotta have Genesis to Revelation. You gotta have Acts 2. And suddenly there's a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. You gotta get out the gambling business of religion and get into the pure word of God. And when God says, God does. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the primary relationship between Jesus and the individual is first of Savior and sinner, and second of teacher and pupil. Thank God for Billy Graham. He brought me the Savior. I was a sinner. He brought me the Savior. He introduced the Savior to a sinner. Thank God for Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Why? They brought me from a teacher to a pupil. They showed me that I could believe with the word of God. And you know, most people told me I shouldn't believe it like that. I said, but They said, why do you believe that? I said, because that's what it says in your book. Your book says it. Does your Bible say what my Bible says? Yes. Yeah, but get away from the ands, the ifs, the so-sos, and the buts. Bless God. Take God's word the way he said it. That's the teacher. That's the pupil. We all love babies. They're wonderful. They're glorious. But they got to grow up. They got to grow up. Why? To give us more babies. It's called grandchildren. Great grandchildren. Every man's work must be a continuation. You understand? I mean, when my daughter came home, I never forget it. I'm a Cajun from New Orleans, but my daughter's the only one out the whole to do Planet's family. My daughter was born on about 15 miles, 18 miles in Arlington, Texas. We have a Texan in our family. We didn't know what to do. Should we buy her little cowboy boots? Should we dress her up in cowboy hats? Hallelujah. Yeah. She's a Texan. She was beautiful. You ought to see her. Oh, God. It just take your heart away. Jody was beautiful. At Arlington Memorial Hospital. I mean, I had the nurses say, this is a beautiful baby. She don't look like you, but she's a beautiful baby. I said, she looked like my wife. They said, yes, she was beautiful. Perfect skin. Her hair, perfect, perfect. Little lips. You got to understand how Brother Jesse looked in those days. Long, dark chocolate brown hair. Talking like this, hey, man, that's my kid. I could see the nurses. Oh, my God, she could be smoking a joint at 3 months old. Oh, God, let's don't let that beautiful baby go with that rock musician. Why did that beautiful girl marry him. I'm trying. Glory to God. Because she was blind. She was a sinner. She was blind. You ought to have seen her. She was beautiful. I didn't think they fed her enough. So I almost broke the glass. I punched the glass. Woke up every baby. Wah! Wah! I went, hey, feed my kid! Okay, okay. Some hunchback nurse come got me. Come here. I'll never forget that hunchback nurse. She may be still living. I don't know. She walked like that. She said, come here. I got behind. I went, okay. She said, I don't think they feed them enough neither. I'll make sure your baby's fed. And I thought, the woman's like this. Well, she was like this. I thought, boy, Jody will fit real good right there. Took Jody home. She was beautiful. I didn't teach her the traditions of Cajun people. At least I tried. I said, you're a Texan. Eat these jalapenos. Suck that burrito through that bottle. Come on. You're a Texan. Me and your mama gonna eat crawfish, but you eat burritos, tacos. She couldn't. She can now, though, boy. I tell you what. She couldn't then. She began to grow. As she grew up, I would buy her dresses. I mean, a lot of times I'd come home. Remember the dresses, Kathy, I came home with? People said, boy, you got good taste. They didn't think I was so full of the devil. But I knew pretty baby clothes when I saw it. So I would buy it. And I'd bring it home. And Jody, I'd dress up. They said, this is your daughter? I said, isn't that a miracle? Yeah. And then she began to talk. And then I went, oh, my God. Instead of saying, Taiwan thing, bless God, give me one of them tacos, Daddy. I found out she was not a Texan inside. She said, Daddy, brought me that Tabasco sauce. I'm going to put it in my baby bottle right now. I said, oh, my God, there's a Cajun inside of her. I knew I was going to have a pretty baby. Why? Because I wasn't at the casino trying to gamble on one. I knew I would have a relationship with Jesus. I knew he would do what he said. So I decided to take his word at face value. And when I prayed over my body to be healed, Dennis, it was healed. When I prayed over my wallet to receive finance, it got full. And everybody thought, hey, do you think you are not a gambler? Got to know when to hold them.
Throw in the fold. Not in God's word. It's already been sent. Bless God. You can pick it up by the barrel fill if you got the guts to do it. Get out of that tradition. Get out of that stuff that makes the word of God of none effect. It's the gospel casino. I want to be at the altar of God. I want to hear what thus saith the Lord says. It's that thus saith the Lord, or thus saith the religious hierarchy says. If they're saying what the word says, then they're not in the casino area. They're flowing in the word of God. But what has happened is people don't understand the supernatural. You know why? Because they don't think God's going to do that. Yet God said, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils. Freely receive and freely you give. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what he said. Now go do that. And they said, but that's not for today. He didn't say that was not for today. You said that was not for today. He said, my word will not return unto me void. He said, my covenant will I not break. Nor alter the thing that's going out of my mouth. That's Psalms 89, verse 34. My covenant will I not break. Why is everybody having a problem with that? He said he won't break his covenant. Good enough for me. Nor alter the thing that goes out of his lips. He said, by his stripes you were healed. Okay, I am healed. By, he said, I'll supply all your need. Okay, he can't change that because it's come out of his mouth. He covenanted with me. It shall come to pass. Why do we struggle? I don't need to gamble when I pray. Bless God, when I pray, I know in whom I have believed and I'm persuaded. And if I know and I'm persuaded, I get the results of what he said. Are you hearing me? But you see, there's something called unrest. Well, Brother Jesse, we prayed like that and it didn't work because you were praying prayers to see where the words splatter. You might have been praying prayers the way Grandma told you to pray. When God told you to pray, you wanted to pray the way you should pray. Unrest regarding the whole field of the supernatural has been seeded into the church. Notice what it says, casting down imaginations. Casting it down. Throwing it down. Casting down imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Watch this. What is the knowledge of God? His word. So if something is going against that knowledge, pull it down. Bringing every thought into captivity. That's why some of you in prison don't understand God or Jesus. Because you see, no man ever presented to you the pureness of the gospel. They presented you a gamble. Listen to me. Unrest regarding the whole field of the supernatural has been seeded into the church. Questions that are never answered will spring up at every step. Think about it. Either you will live in spiritual victory or you will live in spiritual captivity. Paul the apostle, man that knows the word of God. Romans chapter 7, oh wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of sin? I'm struggling with the law. I'm struggling with the law. The law makes me guilty. I don't know what to do. Watch this. He's in spiritual captivity. He loves God, but he's captivated. See, he's bound to law. He's bound to religion. You understand? He's gambling. Oh, that Jehovah might hear me. He's pulling a slot machine. Maybe if I kill some people, I'll drag them out their houses and I'll kill them because they call themselves Christians. And he's doing everything. He's in spiritual captivity. He loves God, but he don't know how to be free. But then he explodes in that Romans chapter 8 and he says, wait a minute, there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. I've been born again. Now he's into spiritual victory. He's got out of a spiritual captivity. Now he's in the spiritual victory. Don't get mad at me if I refuse to walk in your captivity. I'm in spiritual victory. That doesn't mean I don't have problems. Ladies and gentlemen, we just come through one of the worst storms you've ever seen. You heard about it? Bless God. When I woke up, my Lord, the storm, Hurricane Opal. That's a name, huh? Opal. Should have been a pretty storm, but no, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't like an opal. It was a killer, a destroyer. I got up. I went to bed when it was 100 miles an hour, and that was at 1:30 in the morning. I got up at 5:30, a quarter to six, and it was 150 miles an hour. And I thought, my God, man, I know something about hurricanes. I know what they can do. I've been in them since I'm a child, since a baby. What did you do, Brother Jesse? I didn't go, oh, gloom and despair and agony on me. Oh, God, send it over there. Oh, God. I said, no. I said, God, I know in who I am, believe. I believe. And I say unto that thinking, that destroyer, get out of here. And me and Catherine begin to bind that thing. Dissipate, dissipate. But see, most Christians weren't praying what we were praying. They were trying to push it to another part of the Gulf Coast. Get it over there so it don't come our way. We were lucky. Luck don't have nothing to do with it. I tell you what happened. That storm got close and that angel went, psh. Somebody prayed. But you know why I believe it went to Pensacola? You want to know why? Because one of the greatest revivals in America today is going on in Pensacola. One of the greatest revivals in America. You hadn't heard much about it. Most people hadn't. I was there no more than about a month ago. When I was there, Pensacola don't have, I don't think, but 90, 80, 90,000 people at most. In 73 service, 171,000 people have walked to that church and given their lives to God. Listen to me. Over almost now, it's about over 10,000 first-time conversions. At the time that I spoke, there were 71,000 rededications. That devil sent that Oprah trying to kill and destroy everything. But I got an answer for you, devil. You'll not stop the work of God. God will go forth and save that place. You hear what I'm saying? That's why there's struggling going on. That devil is doing everything he can do to stop that revival. But then people are so much in love with Jesus, they don't care if they got a building. They'll build a new one. Or they'll preach in the grass. That's what I'm saying here. This ain't casino stuff. What are you saying, Brother Jesse? It is our wisdom as well as our duty to be single-hearted and consistent in our relationship to the Word. See, that's what Kenneth and Gloria did for me. You watch them by television. If you listen to their programs, first you got to get saved. Save your sinner. Teach your pupil. You got to know something about this. If you don't know this, you'll walk down the same track of religion for centuries. They are preaching the uncompromised Word of God. What do you mean? They're single-minded. The Bible said in James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Notice this. How many times you heard the people say the Word of God is true, but... That's an unstable statement. That's a double-minded person. I looked at that today, and the word double-minded means two-souled person. Two souls. Jerry, we were talking about, I love what Jerry said. He got a rendition of it. That two-souled person means a schizophrenic. Boy, isn't religion schizophrenic? My God, nobody know what to do. What are you saying? I'm saying it is our wisdom as well as our duty to be single-hearted and consistent in our relationship to the Word. But Brother Jesse, how do I get out of the gospel casino? Right here. You've got to change the soul. You've got to change this. You people watching in prison, you've got a lot of time to use this. You lay in that cell at night. That's where your battle is. See, well, man, I've been to church. So has the devil. So has Jesus, and he couldn't even get in. Bible said two or three are gathered together in my name. There I am. But they're not gathering together in the name of Jesus. We're gathering together in the name of Baptist and Methodist and Episcopalian and Presbyterian and Assemblies of God and Church of God and Word of Faith and Full Gospel and Catholic. But if we come together in the name of Jesus, there will he be in the midst. And he don't care if you're in a building. You can be in a cell tonight. See, but I only got one person, you and God. Two, that's enough. See, that's singleness of heart. I decided to not be double-minded. That's not easy. How do you stop being double-minded? Controlling this. What are you saying? The best way of preventing our thoughts from flowing in the wrong channel is to help them overflow into a good one. I've learned to let my thoughts overflow into a good one instead of letting them flow into a wrong channel. When the devil throws an ugly thought in my mind, I said, I'll not think about that today. The devil threw an ugly thought in my mind last night at 12:30. Actually, about 12:45 last night. I got up. Got out of my bed. I mean, I had an ugly thought in my mind, Jerry. I went to my study and I said, God, I hate that thought. I don't even like it. And I reached over the Bible and I don't know, I study the Word of God, but I just flipped it. And the Bible said, oh, don't overcome evil with evil, overcome evil with good. Some people have done some wrong things. And I said, bless God, I'm going to be good to them, Jesus. It don't make your flesh feel good. Your flesh said, No, we ain't gonna be good to them. We're gonna break their necks, crush their bones. Then you can pray for healing, but bless God, let me hit them once. Can't do that. Don't overcome evil with evil. Overcome evil with good. So I said, I'll not have that thought in my mind. So I decided to let the goodness thoughts think on these things. Philippians 4:8. Was of a just, lovely, good report, pure. I said, that's not just, that's not lovely, that's not good report, that's not pure. I should not think on that. I shall think on being a blessing instead of being a curse. Now, there's three ways in which to cast down imaginations. Three ways. One is the rule of exclusion. Watch this. Exclude all adverse thoughts. That's what I did last night. Do not admit them to the mind. Remember this. If you admit them to the mind, they produce a two-souled person in you. They produce a double thing. The rule of exclusion. Number one, write that down if you've got a pen. It'll help you. The rule of exclusion. This is how you cast down imagination. Don't admit those things, those adverse thoughts into your mind. If they're not lovely, just, good report. Philippians 4, you can go read it, verse 8. The rule of exclusion. Number two, the rule of attention. Fix your mind steadily on higher things and you will become indifferent to lower things. That's the rule of attention. When a thing tries to get in your mind that's not a God, say, no, no, the rule of exclusion. I think on this was over lovely, just, and good report. And then all of a sudden I switch over to the rule of attention. Set my affections on things above and not on things below. That's Colossians 3:2. No, I'll not do that because my affection is on things above. Because you see, if you do the rule of attention and you keep your mind steadily on the higher things of God, you'll become indifferent to the lower things of the world. Now, the higher things of God is not the gambling casino. Set your affection on things above. That means you adore Him. He adores you. I preached not long ago on TBN, and I mean, I shocked some people. I said, the Lord admires me. He does. The Lord admires me. He loves me. I saw him. I caught him looking at me today. I was flying here, and I opened up my Bible, and then I was kind of in the spirit, praying in the spirit. I saw the Lord going. I said, I caught you looking at me. Yeah, I did. I know I did. You love me, don't you, Lord? He said, yes, I do, Jesse. Yeah, he admires me. Look at so many people. He does. I'm his kid. Sometimes I catch my wife, sneaking a peek at me. Oh, yeah, I can tell. You know when you've been married for a good while, you know when things are flowing good. You understand? I mean, she can be way across the room and just one eyebrow. I go, yeah, mama. How you doing, sweetheart? Hi. And I think to myself, whoa, Jesus. This ain't gambling tonight, glory to God. No. She told me last night, take me out to dinner. Where do you want to go, mama? I'll buy you anything. Just that little, just a little eyebrow. And I'll stop the story right there. The rule of exclusion, the rule of attention. See, that attention. Yeah. And finally, the rule of repetition. The rule of exclusion, the rule of attention, the rule of repetition. Rethink good thoughts until good thinking becomes a habit. Become habitual, habit forming when it comes to the Word of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you do these things, it will take that seed of unrest in your life. So when you pray, you know God will hear you. You're not at the gambling casino. You're not praying prayers to see where the words may splatter. You're not being taught no more by that religious order. You're being taught by the Holy Ghost. So you're not gambling anymore. Did you hear Brother Copeland? When he was counting down before that satellite came on, for you that didn't know that, he was counting down 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, 15 seconds, 14, 13. The devil going, oh God, oh God, I know over 100,000 prisoners watching tonight. What are we going to do? Nothing, devil, nothing, 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 nothing. God going into prisons. If God be for you, who could be against you? You think this is by accident that you're watching this tonight? No, God Almighty moved upon the minds of men, and God caused satellites and put things together. So you men that and women that are sitting in those prisons, all of a sudden God said, we're going to have church in the prisons because at least they'll listen. They will listen. They will listen. And you that are watching, if you listen with this heart, you'll come out of prison. You'll walk in the glory of God. You heard the testimonies of these people. They couldn't change unless they had a God that could change them. It's not by any accident. God moved upon the minds of men to put the technology together to produce this tonight for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. God didn't have, I wonder if it's going to work. Casting down imaginations. The gospel casino. God does not gamble with your life. Living with Jesus is not a gamble or a game of chance. You know, people get mad at you when you talk like this. I've had people say, that's who do you think you are? What do you want to know about me? The other day I had the biggest newspaper in the New Orleans area call my office and said, we want an interview with Reverend DuPlant. What for? What do you want to know about me? What good would it do for you to know anything about me? I can't change your life. I can't save your life. I can't heal your body. What do you want? Why do you want to put my picture on a paper? Why don't you put the wonderful picture of Jesus? I'll talk to you about Jesus. What do you want to talk about me for? I'm a dead man. Okay, next statement. Now what we're going to talk about. I died in 1974. That's when I died. I was born again in 1974. In a bathroom in Boston, Massachusetts. I didn't gamble no more with my prayer. I said, if there's such a thing as a God, you come into my life, you save me, you help me. I didn't know how to pray. Why? Because every prayer I learned, everyone I learned was a gamble. Well, I don't know if you're listening or not, but hey, hey, are you up there? Oh, I don't know. But brother, when I went by myself and got away from the gospel casino and I said, God, you come into my life. All of a sudden I heard the voice of the Lord. No, I didn't hear my voice, but I heard it in my heart. And he said, Jesse, I will wash your sin away. But I'm a drug addict. I don't care. I'm an alcoholic. I don't care. But Lord, I've done such terrible things. My blood scrubbing you like Ajax cleanser right now, boy. I'm going to clean you up. And he cleaned me up. I had met the Savior. He had met a sinner. Then he became a teacher. And I became a pupil. I didn't gamble no more. And people thought I was crazy. I went back to church and I said, bless God, you can't believe like that. I said, I'm not into your slot machines. This is what Jesus said. Man cannot come to God with a divided heart. One side toward God, one side against his word. You can't separate God from his word. That's trying to separate the odor of a rose from the flower. I said, did God say it? Yeah, that's good enough for me. Yeah, now let's don't get stupid. I said, I'm not stupid. You don't want to say a stupid thing. Do you believe God? Yeah, I do. I said, you're a liar. Did he say this? Yes, he did. Will he do it? Well, I don't know. Are you calling him a liar? God, they're calling you a liar. Come here. Now, don't tell me. Tell him. Wait a minute, you can't think like that. I didn't think like that. God did. He said, my covenant will I not break. No, alter the thing that go out of my mouth. God is faithful. So I made up my mind. Now hang on, I'm going to kick over some golden calves. Watch this. Now hang on again. Hold on. I decided I didn't need deliverance. I decided I was delivered. They told me, now bless God, Mr. The Planters, drinking a fifth of whiskey a day for all those years, smoking a little dope a week, snorting. I could take a nose hit of cocaine at 100 yards. You know, I knew how to do that stuff. Yes, anything. I ate them brownies, my God, when the sticks were in my teeth. You understand what I'm saying? Don't act like y'all don't know nothing about that. They're going. I knew what sin had to offer. They said, well, now you're going to have to get delivered. I got delivered when I walked in that bathroom. And I said, Jesus, come into my life. I let the purity of this gospel go as far as the pollution of trouble in my life. And I quit drinking instantly. And I quit smoking dope instantly. I was delivered. But they was always waiting for me to fall back into it. What do I want to fall back into it for? What in hell do I want? I said, I'm delivered. Yeah, but it's not supposed to happen like that. See, they are at the gospel casino. To them, their prayer is a chance. To mine, it's a surety and a fact. Not because of who I am, because of who he is in me. Do you understand? Life with Jesus is not a gamble or a game of chance. They say, well, you know, a lot of people have said that and backslid. I said, well, they're in the sliding business. I'm not in the sliding business. I don't want no more dope. I got the Most High in my veins. Yeah, but bless God, you're going to get discouraged and not know how to pray. Good, then I'll pray in tongues. Sure can't mess that up because I don't know what I'm saying. My Lord, when we all linked on, Brother Savelle, Brother Copeland, myself, and Mike Barber, you notice I prayed in tongues? I didn't know what to say. So I went, Kulamashakamon. The Holy Ghost did. I just the devil didn't know what I was saying either. He's going. That's why he's against tongues. That's why he's against the Holy Ghost. Because when you start praying in that heavenly language, he scratches his head. He goes, they're saying something spiritually alive and we're spiritually dead and we don't know what they're saying. So the only way we can find out what they do is if they speak it with their mouth in English. You know, if most of us shut our mouth, the devil wouldn't know what's going on. I honestly believe that the devil has Alzheimer's. I believe he does. The devil has Alzheimer's. I believe that. He don't remember things till you remind him. You know, grandma had diabetes. Grandpa had diabetes. Diabetes runs in our family. The devil goes, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. Okay, give him diabetes. If you'd have shut your mouth, the Bible says you're snared by the words of your mouth. What are you saying here? The word of God makes you a spiritual athlete, not a spiritual invalid. But I noticed the church has become a spiritual invalid over the centuries because they've been gambling. They're sitting on them stools all the time. Their legs can't walk no more. They can't walk no more. They're spiritual invalids. Some of you in prison tried Jesus. It didn't work. Didn't. Yeah, I know it. You know why? Because a spiritual invalid gave it to you. But by you get around a spiritual athlete. Oh, there's a horse of a different color. When you turn on that daily program, my God, and you see Brother Coleman said, I'll tell you one thing. You know, he stick that finger. And he just almost, you go like this. At the. Sometimes Brother Coleman stick his finger. I do. Uh-oh. Jesus is Lord. You understand? Listen to me. You know how he does that. Hands like this sometimes. That's a spiritual athlete. Sister Gloria comes around that little thing. I tell you what God said. You obey it. See you tomorrow. Glory to God. That's not a spiritual invalid. That's a spiritual athlete. That's not gambling. That's not gambling. That's knowing what they're going to do. Knowing what they're going to do. Isn't it wonderful to know what you're going to do? Instead of trying to figure out what to do. And maybe God may show up and he may not. One man told me, suppose a hurricane came and blowed your house down. What would you do? Build another one. But I'll tell you what, the devil's going to make it seven times better. He touched my stuff. He's going to pay me sevenfold. Where'd you learn that from? That little woman said, see you tomorrow. You know what I did one time to a Gloria Copeland on a daily program? I was in an upstairs hotel. I couldn't help myself. God forgive me, I couldn't help myself. And I noticed all the doors were open. You know, the mugs were getting ready to clean it. I mean, I guess people had left early. So I knew the daily program was coming on early. So I went in every room and turned on Gloria. I mean, I went from 201 to 217. And all the doors open. And then you'd be walking and you'd hear Gloria. Yes, Gloria, Gloria, Gloria. The whole thing. It looked like a television place, you know. And Gloria just preaching to everybody walking by. Every maid heard Gloria Copeland. But there was one. I thought that was so funny. I went on the other side of the hotel, and another maid had done the same thing. A maid. She wanted to watch Gloria. She cleaned one room, go to the next one. Clean that room. Or she was going, she was stripping beds, not cleaning, she was stripping. So she stripped, throw it in there. Turn around. So I said, you watch Gloria Copeland? She said, shh, shh, wait, what? And Gloria said, let's pray. And the woman grabbed my hand. She said, let's pray. I said, yeah, okay, I'll pray. I prayed with that woman. I don't know. She was a Spanish girl. She went, my Lord. I said, I went, I prayed in the Holy Ghost. I didn't know. All I wanted to say was, oui, oui, senor. I don't know. Mixing them up. I didn't say that, but I wanted to. I just prayed with the woman. She said, you watch Gloria. Then she looked at me. She went, ah! You that white-headed man. She goes, oh, I like you too. And she walks off. Left me. I had so much fun in that hotel. Why are you not embarrassed, Brother Jesse? Well, I'm a spiritual athlete. Now that shocked some people. Hey, do you think you are? I've been working out. I've been running this race with patience. I got a marathon, man. I'm already almost through it. Bless God, I can see the finish line. The finish line of Jesus said, come up hither. Come up hither. Yeah. Been running this race. I've had many opportunities to fail. Didn't take any. Grab some spiritual invalids along the side and grab their wheelchairs. Come on, run with me. Come on, kick them feet. Boom, get them up the chair. I can't. Well, yeah, you can. I'll drug some of them through the cement. Come on. Come on. You don't give up. I tell people, you don't give up. I don't care if you hadn't got your healing today. Don't give up.
keep going, keep going and going and going. And one day you'll come out that chair. I don't care what the world tells you. God said, by his stripes ye were healed. That's his covenant. That's faith. That's not the gambling casino. That's what he said. See, without faith in his word, no achievement is possible. I have a big faith project in front of me. Oh, man. If I look at it in a two-souled mind, I can't do it. But I don't every day. I go out there. I bought some property. Oh, man. I got to believe God for some big things. I got it all clean. It looks like a park. Beautiful big oak trees. It's beautiful. People say, what's going on over there? And every time I have somebody with me in my car, if somebody picks me up or something, if I'm driving one of the maintenance men, I stop. I say, do you see it? Do you see it? And they go, what? What? There ain't nothing out there but trees when it cleared this land. I said, you see those new buildings? Can you see them? Can you see them? See, I can see them. I can see them in them trees. Oh, my God, I can see them. I walk on that property. I said, that's where this is going to be. This. I said, walk through the front door with me. Come on, let's go. Walk through it. They're going. My God, man, we're walking around a tree. You see a tree. I see a building with the gospel going forth out of it. See, you got to see it. I'm not gambling on this. I know in whom I have believed. The other day with my pilot, he was taking me home. This is at 1:30 in the morning. I said, stop, Jack. He went, I said, can you see it? He said, it's dark. I know it's dark. Can you see it? Yeah, I see it. See it. Look at it. Yeah. I went over there the other day and just got out and a trucker pulled up. So what they doing around here? I said, this is holy ground. He went, huh? Holy ground. It's the funniest thing. He had a plug in the back. I said, oh, don't spit on this grass. This is holy ground. He went, oh. I said, spit on the highway. Don't spit on this ground. I said, this is holy ground. Holy ground, huh? He went, oh. I said, that's good. I didn't make fun of that. It's fine. It's all he knows. Good. More than some people know. I said, I'm building my ministry offices here. Oh, wait, well, what are you going to do? Get people saved. From what? Well, one thing from this. I don't want to have to pray for the man with cancer of his jaw. That stuff will kill you. He said, this is a beautiful piece of property. I said, didn't God pick a good one? See, when you put God in a conversation, people don't know what to do. I said, didn't God pick a good one? He went, yeah. Yes, he did. I said, look at this, sir. He said, this must be expensive. I said, it is. I didn't say like this. I didn't say this. Won't you help me? Won't you help me? I said, it's paid for. He went, whoa. I said, everything. I said, see all the buildings? He went. I said, can you see them? Yeah. I said, now don't lie. Okay, I can't see them. I said, I can. I said, now, I had to say it. And I got this line from Pastor Cho. I couldn't help it. I said, look at me. I'm pregnant. He went, huh? I said, I'm pregnant. He said, you're pregnant? I said, I'm pregnant. I ain't gambling here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm pregnant. I guarantee you in the very near future, I'm going to be walking like this. I know I am. Ooh. I've been watching pregnant women lately, so to learn how to walk. You know, they walk like little ducks sometimes. And when they sit down, you know, they sit down like that. I'm pregnant. He said, you're pregnant. I said, yes, sir. I said, you ever heard of a man pregnant? No, never ever heard of a man pregnant. I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant with a vision. I said, this vision may bring you into the kingdom of God, sir. You think about that. He said, man, you a different preacher than I ever met in my life. I said, I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant. I have morning happiness. Have morning happiness. I get up. Ah, glory! Thank you, Jesus! I was jogging today and I had that. I forgot about the man in front of me. I went, thank you, Jesus! He went, oh! He ran off. Oh, Lord. We're about ready to go to the delivery room. Just not long. I got to walk like this a little bit long. Then God going to say, push! Push! I learned that from my wife. We've only had one baby. It's enough. Boy, if I had to go through that, I would buy a cat. A dog. Push! Wait, you'll see it. As you in prisons, you'll be able to come to New Orleans and look at it. Why don't you get pregnant tonight? Why don't you get birth? Why don't you get Jesus in your life and let Christ birth you? Oh, and then your dreams and your visions and your destiny will come to pass. Instead of being at the church saying, blowing them dice, Holy Ghost, come on, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, God. Come on. Oh, God. God. Oh, here go the dice. What is it? I don't want to look. Then don't. Because you'll lose every time. Prayer is not a gamble. Christianity is not a gamble. Without faith in His Word, no achievement is possible. I said that to say this. Sometimes it is necessary to prove our faith to ourselves. Why do you do that, Brother Jesse? I have to prove my faith to myself. Watch this. It is by some shock to our faith that we realize how dear it is to us. Sometimes the devil will fight you and you're going to hit your faith. Then I realize how dear it was to me because the arrow couldn't penetrate me. You understand what I'm saying? So sometimes I go out there, I have to prove my faith, not to God. God knows what my faith will do. But sometimes you don't know. Sometimes I don't know. When you understand that, it flows that way. See? So I just go out there. Hallelujah. Yeah. The other day, looking at a television camera, put that by my face. Okay, over here. See, I see a camera. You see a white-headed guy, tall. Stretch me, boys. Stretch me. Not this way. This way. And I could see those millions of people. You know what Mike Barber told me before I got up here? Thank you for helping my family. You see, to you gentlemen and women in those prisons, the world don't care about you. Some of you probably in there and are totally innocent. Because you didn't have enough money. Or nobody wanted to mess with you. They wanted to close a case on you. I don't know. But that man, Mr. Barber, said, thank you for helping my family. I'm not going to tell you, we're going to pray. And you know how God is. Sometimes He does, you know. So just hang on, brother. It's Shawshank Redemption. You know what I'm saying? No, no. I'm telling you, if you'll accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, like I have, you don't need to gamble no more with Jesus. He's not in the gambling business. You take His Word at face value. He can't lie. See, if Jesus did lie, it had become truth. That's why He can't lie, because everything He says is truth. I learned that from Brother Copeland. I still ain't got it all, but I'm trying. One time, Brother Copeland told Jerry that the shadow of a dog won't bite anybody. I can understand that. No, I can't. I've had Jerry tell me that till finally I understood it the other day when he preached the message on it. It was great, phenomenal. You ever, I don't know if you got that, but that's a phenomenal message. Yeah. So I just decided to trust God. That's too radical. Shouldn't be. I'm not gambling no more. Now I want to pray.
I'm healed. When I pray, I'm blessed. That doesn't mean the devil doesn't attack. He attacks in the imaginations and the high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. But I bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ with those three rules I gave you. I want to be a spiritual athlete instead of a spiritual invalid. I'm not going to let people sow the seed of unrest in my life that I don't know what God will do when he sent his word to me to tell me exactly what he would do. I just decided to believe it. Is that strange? Shouldn't be. This is my life. A man told me the other day, he says, supposing God doesn't exist. I said, well, I lived a good life. Then I'll die and that's the end of that. But supposing he does and you didn't believe in it. You ever heard of hell? I mean, you think about it, you can't win. I mean, you can't lose with God. If he doesn't exist, you never hurt nobody living for Jesus. He was a blessing, going somewhere to bless. But ladies and gentlemen, he does exist. You know why I know that? Because it could only take a God to change this man. It could only take a God to put this kind of meeting on. It could only take a God to link up satellites in all these prisons. It could only take a God. Man's not that good, but God is. See, and God gets men and women working together. Who ever heard of life row? That's wild. Huh? So we've got a life row. A life row? Yeah, life row. You mean death row? No, life row. You see, if you'll understand this, this will help you. I was reading the other day in the epistles. And if Jesus would tarry, I would die. All of us would die if he doesn't come. Because, you know, we'll go by the way of the grave. But I was reading about Paul's leaving. He never called it death. He called it departure. He said, my departure is at hand. He wasn't dying. He's just going to another place. My departure. We will now depart. You get on a plane, you depart to another location, to another city or wherever you might be going. I got to thinking, well, if Jesus tarries, I won't die. I'll just depart to another place. How do you know that, Brother Jesse? Because I'm not gambling. I refuse to learn at the gambling casino or at the gospel casino. I decided to go to the Word of God. But see, some of you, most of y'all outside by the gate saying, hello. Hello. What are you waiting around at the gate for? You got a key? Just open it up and go to the throne. Well, who do you think you are? The guy with the key. The guy with the key unlocks the lock. That means if you got the key, you got permission to enter. So I enter. When I walk in, the angel said, Jesse Duplantis from New Orleans, Louisiana. And the Lord said, boy, Jesse, you a pretty pregnant man. I said, thank you, Lord. This is your baby. Yes. Yes. What are we doing today? Well, we're kicking the devil's brains out, God. Yeah, I saw you doing that last night. I appreciate that. I said, I'm going to kick one today. I'm going to damage him so bad he ain't going to have time to recover. Do you have any words you'd like me to tell the devil? Yeah. What? The end. The end. The end. You see? Yeah. I've learned these things. I learned it by taking the Word of God at face value.